Well, I do pray God's blessing over your day. I want to look at the Word. I want to start in James 5:16. I want to still focus more on prayer. I feel like God is saying some things about prayer that are very important for His people, very important for us. And, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of people to make a difference in the world. If God can grab a hold of a remnant, if God can grab a hold of those who will just be committed to Him, who will seek His face, who will pray, God can do a whole lot in the world. And we're going to talk about that. I want to start with James 5:16. Simple scripture you probably heard many times. It says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." I'm going to read that second line again. It says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." I want to go, before I start, I want to go to the next verse. It's 1 John 5:14 through 15. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him." Amen, amen. Would you say that, or would you describe your prayer life as an effective prayer life, effectual prayer life? That's kind of hard to sometimes put into parameters and kind of identify. But Scripture talks about an effective, a powerful, a prayer life that produces wonderful results. Now, that kind of question is not a question necessary to compare you with anybody else. It's not your prayer life versus somebody else's prayer life. And it's certainly not something you can put a percentage on. Well, you know, I said had 10 prayers this week. I got 50% of my prayers answered. You know, I don't think anybody prays like that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But we don't have that kind of mindset of what it means to be effectual. But I want to talk a little bit this morning about this effectual, the biblical insight to an effectual prayer life. First and foremost, we would say an effectual prayer life is first and foremost, in the simplest way, spending time in prayer, right? Without prayer, we cannot be effectual. Without prayer and spending time with God, in fact, James says that you have not because you ask not. You're not spending time with God. You're not even asking God. And then he says, of course, says when you do ask, you ask with wrong motives. You ask with a wrong heart. And God's not answering those prayers with wrong motives and very sinful motives of the heart. So God is looking for people who pray. In fact, God is looking for people who not only pray, but pray with faith. People who will come to Him. People who come and pray, people who pray from His heart, the heart of God. Prayers that give, that God gives us to pray. I want to talk about that, like where God literally gives us prayers to pray. "Hey, brother, how you doing? Come on in. We're glad to have you today." God loves people who come and spend time with Him. He invites us a day to spend time with Him. He invites us every day to spend time with Him. He absolutely loves when we come to spend time with Him. And He loves when we come and we come in faith, believing Him, believing His Word, holding fast to His Word, even praying His Word. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. One great way to pray is pray God's Word. Because if you have nothing else to pray, just pull out the Scriptures, pull out the Psalms, pull out the words of Jesus and pray them. Pray them. Confess them. Declare them. Let that be your prayers. But God does give us prayers to pray. I'm going to talk about that. But they're prayers of faith. And God calls us to be people who are steadfast in prayer. He calls us to be people who are obedient in prayer. And we're going to That's something I want to kind of hit home on. God is looking for those who seek Him and respond to Him. This is important. Because when we come into a place of prayer, we want to come positionally. We're going to say positionally because the Lord has given us a certain responsibility to pray. He's given us, each one of us, a certain responsibility to pray. And it's important. It's important. There are things that we need to pray that need to come through us from Him to Him. It's kind of a uniqueness that God gives us with this prayer thing, because prayer is communication with God. That it's a relational thing. We know it. We know our relationship. If you look at your prayer life, that will speak a lot. That will speak volumes about your relationship with God. Okay. If you don't have much of a prayer life, it says you probably don't have much of a relationship with God. But as your prayer life grows, your relationship with God will grow. God gives us prayers to pray. And we pray them, and we pray them back to Him. And somehow this circuitry that God has developed from heaven to earth back to heaven is something that God has manufactured, that we are working with Him and a part of Him, and He's a part of us to accomplish things on the earth today. It's a bit of a mystery, yet God has decided in His will to do this. So prayer is so integral in our relationship with God, and it's so integral for things to be accomplished on the earth. So God is looking for those who will seek Him, who will respond to Him. God's looking for people who will stand up and go forward and receive His word and do what He's calling them to do. And God looks, He looks to and fro all over the earth for people who will walk in faith with Him. He's looking for people. We can see that back in the Old Testament, He found men and women of faith. He found a man called Nehemiah. We know who Nehemiah is. Nehemiah felt a great burden of the Lord. When he heard of the state of Israel, the state of Jerusalem, and the way things were at that time, well, it was a broken down place. It was a destroyed place. The walls had been burned. The temple had been destroyed. It was a terrible situation. The people were exiled. They were exiled to another nation. And there they were in another nation, far from home. And he hears these stories of how impoverished the people of Israel were. And what a disaster. What a terrible situation they were in. And he begins to weep, and he begins to cry, and this great burden falls upon him. And what does he do? He goes to prayer. We read about this in Nehemiah, the first chapter, and it's called Nehemiah's Prayer. This prayer that he gives back to the Lord. Let's pick this up in verse 4. In verse 4, it says, because he had heard these words about the fall of Jerusalem and how the situation was, a broken down situation. And in verse 4, he says, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We see the burden that Nehemiah has. And so often when we see burdens of prayer, they're burdens that God has given people to pray. You may have carried a burden of prayer for somebody or a situation. You may have heard a story of somebody in a desperate situation. And inside of you, compassion welled up. Inside of you, even grief came to your heart. And it was too much just for you to carry. You had to bring that before the Lord. In fact, you are now given a responsibility. It was a responsibility for you to bring that before the Lord. It was Nehemiah's responsibility when he got this burden, This grief that became so overwhelming upon him, he got this burden. He had to bring it before the Lord. It says day and night, he's lifting up the people of Israel. Day and night. This is his prayer. This becomes his pattern. And he's asking, he's pleading, he's coming before God. God, let your ears be attentive and your eyes open to hear these prayers that your servant is praying. He received this burden from God, and now he's praying it to God. He's releasing it back to the Lord. In this time of prayer, his heart is becoming more and more connected with God. You see, prayer does that too. See, when we spend time, we'll carry people's burdens. When we'll pray in earnest. You see, that scripture in James 5, it says earnest prayer. Compassionate prayer. Fervent prayer. Which means wholehearted prayer, fully engaged prayer. Nehemiah was absolutely praying in earnest, fervently, for the people of Israel, carrying this burden. And in the midst of this, his heart was being more and more woven with the heart of God. Do you know prayer can do that? Prayer can weave the fabric of your heart more and more with the fabric of God's heart. Prayer has an effect to do that when we come to him fervently, in earnest, with our full heart, to spend time and to be before him as Nehemiah was before God day and night. It actually shapes Nehemiah so profoundly. It shapes Nehemiah to the point where he is ready to go to be a part of the answer that God has. See, God has an answer to return all the exiles back to Israel, to build the walls, to restore the temple, to restore the people back to the land, to once again bring the promises to bear. The things that God had spoken prophetically, now he was coming to bear, but he needed somebody. He needed people who would carry that burden, who would go and do the work, who would put their hands upon the walls, who would build, who would strengthen the people that were there. He needed people to respond. And Nehemiah, in his heart, gets to a place where he says, Lord, send me. I want to be the person who goes. And he asked then for favor before the king. See, he was at that time serving the Persian king, exiled in a foreign nation. But he says, Lord, give me favor before the king, and I'll go. I'll be your man. His heart becomes so intricately woven with God's heart that he has to be a part of the answer that God has for the people of God. One way we respond to God is by what Nehemiah did. It says, here I am, Lord. Here I am. And when we come to the Lord to pray, it's important to find our position before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I'm here to pray. I'm here to spend time with you. What is on your heart today? What kind of things do you want me to pray? Is there any burden that you want me to carry today? I know sometimes we have our list, but sometimes we just come before the Lord and say, Lord, what is on your heart today? You know, some people are hindered in their prayer life because prayer for them is a one-way street. I have things to pray. I have things to get done. It's like a task that I have to get done. I have to go through the list and get on with my day. It's a one-way street. God hears your prayers, but you're really missing what prayer is all about. And also, the attitude of prayer is very important here. When we come to God and say, God, I need you to do my will, well, that would be a mistake. As opposed to coming to God and says, God, I'm ready to pray. I'm ready to do your will. And part of his will is praying according to his heart. In order to do that, how we take our position before him is very important. Because my prayer life needs to have prayers of adoration and thanksgiving, prayers of exaltation and submission, prayers of cleansing and confession, because it's a relationship. There's times I just need to get right with God, that I don't need to pray for anything until my heart is right before the Lord. In fact, it would be a waste of time to try to pray for anything until my heart is right before the Lord. Is there anything in my life that is not pleasing to you? God, I want to be right before you. I want to walk in holiness, in godliness. So Lord, let me right now just spend time and confess anything that is not right and lay it down and ask your forgiveness and receive your cleansing. See, there's times when we see that relationship of prayer is coming out. It's not just me praying for God to do things. So I don't pray just for my needs or needs of others. I want a relational time with God. I want to worship Him. I want to come into His presence. You know, it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His presence. See, enter His gate. You know, there's times when we just need to enter before the Lord, thanking Him, worshiping Him, honoring Him. Lord, I'm not going to ask anything from you. I'm coming to worship. I'm going to spend time worshiping you. And if that's all you do during a time of prayer, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. It's like the idea behind our Wednesday night worship. Sometimes we just need to come before the Lord and it's just worship. It's just adoration. Prayers of adoring Him. Get out the psalms that just adore Him. Sing Him. Worship Him. There's just times that relationally we just want to know Him. We just want to honor Him. He loves that. Now, He loves answering prayers too, but He loves it when His people come just to be with Him. How in our prayer life do we come to the Lord just to be with Him? You know, our growing relationship with God will show itself in our prayer life. It shows itself. And we'll become more effective in our prayers as we're maturing in our walk with God. You know, the more intimate we are with God, the more the Spirit of God works on the inside of us. You know, the more intimate we are with God, the more we'll hear His voice. The more intimate we are in coming before the Lord, the more we can realize what the heart of God is. You know, sometimes we're praying for things and we're just not praying the heart of God. It's not that it's not important that we're praying for those things, but we're just not praying the heart of God. And then when we hear the heart of God, then we realize, okay, I need to pray about this differently. I'm not even approaching this the right way. I need to come at this a totally different way, because the way God is seeing this is not the way I am seeing this. And sometimes it changes the way we pray. And that's good, because we're hearing what God is saying, and we're seeing what God sees. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us. The more intimate we come into His presence, the Holy Spirit reveals. The Lord loves to reveal things to His children. A lot of times we know that. But it's so important to stay close to the Lord, because He reveals things. Some things to us in the natural seem impossible. They absolutely, and tell you what, we can repeat over and over again all the impossible things in this world. And we become convinced of it. I've done it, you've done it. We just repeat the problem. And we talk about it, and we talk about it, and we talk about it. This is how terrible it is. This is how awful it is. This is so terrible, so awful. I don't see any hope. Yet when I spend time with God, this is a place where faith can stir inside of me. This is a place where I can begin to believe something that I couldn't believe before, because in my natural state of being, I couldn't believe, because it seemed so impossible. But when I start spending time with the Lord in that place of prayer, in that place that comes before Him, then I can actually have faith stirred in me to start believing for something that I couldn't believe for before. So even in time with the Lord, God gives the gift of faith, just being in His presence. The Holy Spirit can help us see things that are not yet present, that are not realities yet. See, that's faith, right? See, we can't see it in our natural. We can't see it the way we understand things. We can't see it, but when we spend time with the Lord, we come into His presence, the Holy Spirit can help us see things that are not yet realities. See, Nehemiah could walk around the rubble and the destruction where things have been burned down and destroyed, and he could see those walls resurrected. Not in the natural, he could see it in the spirit realm. Because what God had put in his heart, what God had put in him, he would not be denied. He was steadfast to see those walls rebuilt in less than 2 months. To see those walls rebuilt. Because he saw it, even when it was not yet, even when everything said, this is absolutely impossible, he gathered people together and rebuilt those walls. Because he saw something before it became a reality. It was a place of faith, a place that he got by being before God. The Holy Spirit strengthens our faith, and the Holy Spirit helps us to believe. We don't do this by our willpower. We get this faith and belief in our time with God, our relationship with God. You know, my time with God, the time I spend in prayer with God, is not really meant to change God. It's really meant to change me. Now, some people, Christians, approach prayer as I'm going to change the will of God. I'm going to change the mind of God. I'm going to convince him that he needs to do this. I'm going to convince God to show out all the reasons why he should do that. Well, God knows what his will is, and he knows his will for us. But my time in prayer with God is really meant to change me. You know, I cannot really pray out of my flesh and hope for the best. That's not going to be a very robust, effectual prayer life. But if I learn to pray out of God's Spirit in me, then the more and more I'm going to see God's will accomplished on the earth today. And this requires a growing relationship with God. You know, if your time in prayer does not change you over weeks, over months, over years, if your time in prayer is not changing you, I would suggest revisit your approach to prayer. Because that time with the Lord should have an effectual change in you. It should do things in you, even how you pray. So one thing we do when we come to pray, we come into his presence. We come into his presence. He invites us. We literally have a standing with him that we're invited. See, we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The blood of Christ is upon us. He invites us now into his presence. So we don't stand at a distance, but we come to him and we're invited to hear his voice. Now, for some of you, that's praying 101, but sometimes it's just a reminder of, Lord, how do I come before you? How do I enter into your presence? You know, I want to be able to pray according to God's heart. And I don't always do that. Sometimes we can be busy. I can be busy. And sometimes I can rush prayer just to say that I've prayed. But if I'll take the time to tune myself into him, knowing how important it is to know his heart, it's amazing sometimes how prayers will come out that I never intended to pray, but they become something that I just, like a bold prayer comes forward. And we begin to see possibilities with God that we could not see before. So God calls us to his presence. He calls us to hear his voice. He calls us to know his heart. And this takes a prayer life that presses into God, to not stand at a distance, but to press into him. Scripture tells us that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effectual. The righteous. Well, who is that? Who are the righteous? Yeah. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if the blood of the Lamb is upon you, you are the righteousness of God, because the righteousness of God is upon you. It's on you. Your sins are forgiven. You are washed clean. But why do so many Christians act like they're not the righteous of God? Because Christians can act very distant from the Lord. Praying righteously is praying like you belong. You belong. You belong in the presence of God. What do I mean? You're not on the outside looking in. You're not on the outside. You're not in the court of Gentiles. That's an Old Testament example. Looking at the walls that separate you from the inner courts. You're not on the outside looking in, but some people pray like that. Like they're mailing God a list and they're sending it in the mail. Or they're lobbing a prayer in a jar and they're throwing it in the ocean, hoping one day it will reach the shore. But some people pray like that, kind of a distance, kind of an unknown, kind of a, I hope this prayer lands somewhere. I'm just going to throw it out there. Yet some people pray like that, with that kind of mindset. That's a hoping, but that's not a believing. So sometimes we have this distant mentality when we pray. But that kind of prayer doesn't belong. Because we belong. In fact, we're invited. Hebrews 4:16 tells us how to approach God. The righteous of God. It says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God calls us to approach His throne of grace, not throne of judgment. Some people are afraid to approach God because they are fearful of being judged. Yet that's where we understand that if we're under the blood, judgment passes us by because we're covered. We're called to approach His throne of grace with confidence. But how we approach is very important. We approach God in prayer. We approach His throne of grace. But we must know our identity. We must know who He is, but we also must know who we are. Because if we truly know our identity in Christ, then we can come to Him in confidence. Righteous prayers are prayed by people who belong to God. Sons and daughters of the King. So you know that you're a son and you're a daughter. You're in the family. You're invited to partake of the family of God. And yet too many sometimes people don't come to the table or they don't come to the place they're called to. You have a place with God, and sometimes people just don't come to that place before the Lord. Distant hearts pray distant prayers. God calls us to come close. To have intimate hearts that pray in His presence. God's children pray righteous prayers because they know whom they belong to. It's so important to know who you are. Even when we've fallen and we've sinned and we've messed up, God says, come to me. Confess your sins. Confess them. Confess your unrighteousness. And I'll forgive you. 1 John 1:9 says, I'll forgive you and I will cleanse you. Because we belong to Him. And we just lay those acts of sin, those things that we've done wrong, we lay them before Him. But we don't let those things separate us from God. Because He's already paid the price. You see, He already has paid the price so that we can come close. So that we're always reliant on the grace of God. Yes, that's true. Every day, every one of us is reliant on the grace of God. We never step out on any given day. We never wake up and say, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to do this on my own worth today. Thank you, God, for yesterday, but today I'm going to do this all by myself. We never do that. Because we always stand by grace. We always stand before the Lord by grace. So God calls us to come close, to not be separated from Him. And I say that, and maybe this is not a problem for you, but the devil will accuse the brethren. Okay, the devil does. The devil accuses the children of God about how unworthy we are, about how sinful we are, about, you know, you can't, God doesn't care about your prayers because of what you did last week. God doesn't care about your prayers because you're really not that good of a person. The thought life that's going on in your head, that meanness that you have, that anger that you have, yeah, God's not going to hear. You see, the enemy wants to convince us that our prayers are not effectual. They're not important. You see, but when we lay those things at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I do struggle with this. I do have problems here. But God, I want to be free, totally 100% free. And you said that you will forgive, and you do forgive, and you have forgiven. That I'm going to walk free. I'm going to walk clean. And I'm going to come into your presence as a child. And I'm not going to let the enemy convince me that I'm not a child. See, that was the prodigal's problem. The prodigal wanted to come back to the father, but he wanted to come as a servant and not as a son. Because he was convinced in his head that what he did was so bad, and it was pretty awful, right? He wished his father was dead. And it was so bad, but yet that's the point of God's grace. God can restore even the worst parts of us so that we can be children who are welcomed with the robe of righteousness and his ring. Because it says, that ring says we belong to him. We belong to the Father, and we're welcomed into the Father's house. See, I just want to make sure that the body of Christ knows this well. The body of Christ needs to know this well. And so I do. I pray every church hears a message like this. Because if we're estranged from the family of God, if we're walking distant from God, then we're not going to have an effectual prayer life. And we may even believe that God may not be hearing us or caring to hear us. But he wants to hear. And he wants us to draw close. Don't let anything separate you from being with the Father, being in his presence. And if there's, like I said, if there's any sin in your life, confess it before God. He desires to cleanse you.